Go ahead and turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Verse 21. So he said to them again, I'm going away. And you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. It's where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you can't come? And he said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I have received from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And he was saying these things. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Father, speak to our hearts now as we examine this amazing portion of Scripture. Change us, move us, illuminate truth, redeem the lost, rescue them, and set believers straight where they've kind of slipped. We commit this time in your word and pray for your blessing. In Christ's name, amen. What is one of the biggest fears that kids have? Fill in the blank. I'm afraid of the dark. That's it. Anybody here afraid of the dark when you were younger? Not now. Okay. Yeah. There's something about the dark with children because you cannot see what once gave you security, right? When the light's on, you can see mom, you can see dad, you can see the room, you can see the walls, you can see everything. But when the lights go off, you cannot see anything that was once your security. And now your mind begins to imagine all kinds of things. The guy living under your bed, right? The monster in the closet. There's just something about the dark. You know what darkness is? It's just absence of light. It's the absence of light. When I was a kid, one of my favorite things was to go to my grandparents' house, which those two ladies there lived there, my mom and my aunt. And they had a big farmhouse, and there was a big farm there. And on the side entrance of the house, there was an enclosed porch area. But as you looked out of that enclosed porch area, there was a driveway where you'd kind of pull up. But just past that drive was what I called a woods, for lack of a better word. Just not a huge wooded area, but a big wooded area there with all kinds of trees. And as a kid, you know, we would play out there in that wooded area. When the fall came, you could build a mountain of leaves like nobody's business. It was unbelievable. You would rake and rake and rake, and you could run as fast and as far as you want and leap into those leaves, and you would not break anything. It was amazing. We just had a ball out there. We'd throw balls out there. And I remember once we had an egg hunt out there. And I remember my Uncle Harold said he put some money in one of the eggs. I could never find the money egg. Never. You know, I don't know who found it, but it was just horrible. And the other kid, brothers or sisters or nephew, whatever, or cousin would get the $5 bill or whatever it was. However, something changed when the sun went down. I remember going into that little enclosed porch area, and there was a little light, I think, outside the door that lit up just a little bit of the drive, and you could see a little bit. But as I, as a kid, looked beyond that area, it was dark out there. I am talking dark. And I got to tell you, to me, that was a scary place outside of that little bitty light that was shining. And there was no way that I am leaving that porch area at night. Now hold it. I was out there all day playing. What changed? My imagination, right? What changed that said, I ain't going out there? The light was gone. It was now dark. The difference was the light was gone. It is the same thing true with spiritual darkness. The worst kind of darkness that there is spiritual darkness. And Jesus is the light. He makes the difference. And today in our message, we're going to focus on message 2 of Sent from Heaven. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I need to set up where Jesus is at this time in John chapter 8. It was the time for the Feast of Booths. Or the Feast of Tabernacles. Now don't turn there, but I've got it in front of me. Listen to this. Here's what Jesus told Moses. The Lord told Moses in Leviticus 23. Speak to the people of Israel saying, on the 15th day of the 7th month and for 7 days it is to be the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the 8th day, you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. And now get this, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. You're not living in the houses you got now. You're going to build you a booth. Some of them built them out of palm leaves, which is also connected when Jesus came in and they threw the palm leaves down and they said, Hosanna. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. You know, we might panic if we had to dwell in a booth for 1 day, right? Hey, my idea of camping is a Holiday Inn. I'll be the first one. That your generations, now this is so important, that your generations may know, I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your God. And so this is what's happening. Jesus is going to go to this Feast of Tabernacles where they have been dwelling in booths to commemorate the fact that God brought them out of the land of darkness, Egypt, into the promised land. And for 40 years, he led them by what? The light in the cloud. And all of that is connected. Now, this is where Jesus is, so we got to understand what's going on. This is a joyous occasion. This is a feast that highlights God's blessing of all of the agricultural blessings of that year. And everybody would bring in their food and their offerings into the temple during this time. In fact, one Jewish rabbi is quoted as saying, you don't know what, let's put it in our vernacular, you don't know what partying is until you come to the Feast of Booths. It was an absolute joyous, smiling, beautiful occasion. God has sent the rain and God has blessed us and we have gathered and we are remembering that he delivered us from darkness, from bondage to the promised land. People are coming from all around Israel bringing their tithes and their freewill offerings. And they had these things that looked like trumpets. And that's where they poured their offering in. All around these big trumpets, and they would come into the temple and they would put their offerings in there. They would pay their vows, and they'd pay their tithes and their free will offerings. And by the way, Old Testament, you tithe over 30%, not 10, all right? That's another message. And it was also to remember, we were stuck in slavery. And you led us for 40 years. There were two outstanding characteristics. Now, you got to grab this. In fact, if you don't know this, this text won't really, you won't be able to grab it in John 8. There were two things that they did that were highlighted. One was the pouring of water in the temple, and the other was lighting up the temple. The pouring of water and lighting up of the temple. And so during this feast, the high priest would come in, and he would pour water from the specific pool into the specific area and also mix it with wine, and those would flow outside. And this had to do with being symbolic for abundant rain that had come and abundant rain that they were trusting God to bring. But it went beyond the physical of God bringing water. It was also prophetic and messianic in hope, the Messiah coming, Jesus coming, the Holy Spirit coming upon Israel and sending the Messiah king. During this time where they are pouring the water, then they begin reading the Psalms. And they're reading all the scriptures, and it's just a festive, joyous occasion. The pouring of the water. The Messiah is coming. God is going to send rain to provide for us. He has sent rain to provide for us. Amazing. The second one was the brilliant illumination of this temple to light it up. What's one of your favorite things about Christmas time? Lights, isn't it? There's just something about the lights. You know, you're driving and you see lights and you put lights up in your house or on your house. And I have to admit that it is not one of my most favorite things to do, to put lights on outside the house. In fact, my wife's in the nursery and I'll just tell you, I downright hate it. The little things don't fit right. But I got it done and I tried to be godly while I was doing it. But they sure look good when they're up, right? Well, this was the second great thing, the pouring of water and lighting up the temple. Oh my goodness. Pilgrims came with torches and all kinds of lights, and they lit up the temple. The candlesticks were lit inside the temple. They were illuminated. And it is said that you could see this lit up temple as far, you know, not as far as you could go, but from a great distance. So you picture yourself in the dark and you look over, and here's this amazing temple just lit up with these glowing, illuminating lights. It just looked brilliant. Men brought lights and torches and danced in front of the temple. I won't do that for you because I don't have my torch. If I had my torch, I'd dance for you. And they would sing songs and praises. The Levites would play with the harps and the cymbals and the trumpets and all kinds of instruments. We might be shocked if we walked in here and that was going on, right? You ever study music in the Old Testament? I've got to tell you, they got into it. They did, didn't they? Because their God was awesome and they just let it go. They just celebrate and they're dancing and filling up the trumpets, the offering plates, and they're singing and they're reading the Psalms. Yahweh provided, Yahweh provided. This is what is going on. And again, they're remembering the leading of God because they had to live in booths for 7 days. Well, in John chapter 7, Jesus' brother said, Jesus, we got to go to the Feast of Booths. You got to come. Jesus decided to stay home. And then remember later, he went privately. So his brothers, remember, who did not believe in him until after the resurrection, they all go up, Jesus hangs back, and then he goes privately. The Jews begin in chapter 7 having a controversy about who is this guy? And there's a big fight about who Jesus is. In verse 14 of chapter 7, Jesus arrives in the temple. Now remember, all of this is going on. The water, the lights, all the festive singing, the reading of Psalms, the giving of all of their offerings, their gifts, their free will, their tithes. It's a joyous, people are just, it's amazing. And Jesus shows up and begins to teach in the temple. In fact, I want to read verses 16 to 18 of chapter 7. He begins to teach, and the Jews said, how have you learned all this stuff? You've never studied. So Jesus, 8, verse 16, answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Do you wonder why I entitled this series, Sent from Heaven? How many times has Jesus said, he sent me, he sent me, he sent me? Verse 17, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. So he says, I am the one who teaches from my Father. I am the illuminated one. Now get this, all this is going on. The two rituals of the water and the lights. Now take your eyes and glance to chapter 7, verse 37. Now picture this. They're pouring the water and Jesus is there in the temple. And Jesus, verse 37, on the last day of this feast that we just kind of tried to describe for you, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, come to me. Drink of me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Not this little trickle you're putting in there as the symbol of me, but rivers of living water. Verse 39. Now this he said about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, future tense. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Are you catching this? They're doing the symbolic water pouring, saying Jesus is coming. Jesus stands up and says, hey, I'm here. That's me you're symbolizing. But it doesn't stop there. And then what's the next big thing they did in this temple service, the Feast of Booths? Illuminated everything. Let's brighten it up. Let's show that there's light in the darkness to the world. Yeshua told us to do that. The Mashiach told us he's coming. The Messiah is coming. And then Jesus stands up, and look in chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the illuminated one. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. And that's our focus today. Isn't that amazing? Here they're doing all of this, saying this points to the Lamb. This points to Jesus. Oh, they didn't want the Lamb, by the way. It pointed to the Messiah, the King. And Jesus says, it's me. It's me. It's me. I'm the one. I'm the light. I'm the water. I'm the light. I'm the water. I'm the light. I'm the water. How do you think they reacted? Let's look at this. First of all, his declaration. Verse 12. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. You know, I thought about that word world. I'm the light of the world. I'm the light when there's death. I'm the light when there's darkness. I'm light when there's pain, when there's hurt, there's confusion, when there's heartache, when there's struggles, when there's hopelessness. I am the illuminated one in this kind of world. Isn't that the world you live in? People that have no hope. They live in darkness. They live in evil. They live in sin. They live just by satisfying the daily routine of the flesh. Jesus said, I'm the light in this kind of world that you live in, the world of darkness that Satan ruined in Genesis 3. I want to just share some verses here just to kind of get our mind thinking about what Jesus said. And we'll have them up on the screen so you can just kind of follow along. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. Revelation 21:23, this is amazing. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the, who? The Lamb. There is no sun in heaven. There is no lesser light, the moon in heaven. Why? Because the Lamb of God just shines, shines, shines. And again, they're going, look at our temple. Isn't it awesome? And Jesus says, that's me. But we don't want you. We don't want a Savior that loves prostitutes. We don't want a Savior that eats with poor people. We don't want a Savior that hangs around the tax collectors. We want a King, baby, a King. Exodus 13, 21 through 22. The Lord went before them. Who went before them? The Lord. By day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them what? Light. That they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart before the people. And remember, this feast that Jesus says, I am the light, is talking about that. And we just see that God, the light, leads and guides. And we'll come back to that later. I love Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my darkness and my non-deliverance. Oh, wait a minute. The Lord is my what? Light. And he's my salvation. It's just characteristic of our God. He is light. Listen to Isaiah 60, verse 19. This, and talking about the future restoration of God's people. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. You know what Jesus was saying? I am that glory. I am that light. I am God. I protected you. That was me back there in the Exodus. That was me. I led you. I delivered you. Paul even said it was Jesus, the rock, that Israel followed. And he's in the temple and he says, that's me. I, Jesus, was that light. I was the Shekinah glory, which was a Hebrew phrase they used to show that God's presence chose to dwell there. Isn't it amazing if you read Genesis, the creation account? Was there light before God made the sun and the moon? There was. Isn't it amazing? There was light. He hadn't even said sun, moon. You ever study the sun? It's amazing. Anybody ever been to the sun? I didn't think so. It's huge. And when I go out running sometimes, and it's sort of one of those cool, half-warm kind of days. Does that make sense? You know, it's not really hot. But when the cloud goes over the sun, it's like, ooh, man, it's chilly. And the second that cloud moves, I can feel the heat. Isn't that amazing? Well, this Jesus in the temple, he made that thing. He made it. And before he ever made it, there was light. And then he made darkness. How did you make darkness? What an amazing God. Listen, if you think you got a puny God, you need to kind of set up and go, wait a minute, what's wrong with me? And Jesus said the words here in verse 12, I am, which was related to Old Testament's I am, which is a present tense Greek word ami, which means I am the self-existent one. I am God in the flesh. I am the light of the world. And look at verse 13 of chapter 8. The Pharisee said to Jesus, you're lying. You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony's not true. They basically said, you're just a big liar, Jesus. I tell you what, I'd strike them down right there, wouldn't you? I'd take one of those torches the guy was holding, and I'd have it float in the air, right in front of the guy's face, right up there. But I'm evil. They called Jesus a liar. And Jesus in verse 14 says, you know, even if I do bear witness about myself, I'm the one saying I'm the light. What I'm saying is true. Why is it true? Look what he said, verse 14. Because I know where I came from and where I'm going. I'm going to die, be buried, raise again, ascend to the Father. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge just according to the flesh. They could not get their minds on heavenly things. All they could think about was down here. And then Jesus says, I judge no one. Probably referring to the fact in John 3 where he says, I didn't come to condemn. But I love verse 16. Jesus says, however, looks are deceiving. Looks are a little deceiving. Yet even if I do decide to judge, which he will, my judgment's true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. And he just keeps talking about how he and the Father are just inseparable. It's amazing. Then Jesus says, okay, in your law, you got to have two people to affirm a testimony, right? Yeah, that's right. Verse 18. Well, I'm the one who bears witness about myself, but the Father's the second one. And the Father who, oh, here it is again, sent me, bears witness about me. So then in verse 19, they go on and say, well, where is your Father? Go get him. Who's your Father? Where's your Father? Jesus answered, you don't even know my Father. If you knew me, you'd know my Father also. And so Jesus makes this declaration, I'm the one you're doing all this for. I am the light. I'm the light of the world. And he proceeds to the second point, which adds to it in verse 12, I think, his deliverance. Jesus said, I am this light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I circled the word follow in my Bible. Why didn't Jesus say, he who believes in me? Primarily because who he was talking to, but I think because when you believe, you follow. My sheep know my voice, they hear my voice, they know me, they follow me, right? John chapter 10. We fail. Is there any sheep in here who didn't fail this week? I didn't think so. But Jesus says, the one who follows me because his conversion is real, even though they fail, will not be and walk in darkness. Isn't it amazing you got following and walking? There's progression here. There's a life talking about it, not just a one time, oh yeah, I believe, I'll go to heaven, and you live like the devil. And what Jesus, I think, is saying here is your condition has to be changed. People's conditions must be changed. How do you change it? You follow the light. You follow the light. It is the most absolute worst condition you can be in. It is darkness. In fact, darkness here refers to spiritual darkness, eternal death. You're walking around breathing, looking, talking, eating, drinking, sleeping, watching sports, doing all you can do, but you are dead. It is the worst condition you can possibly be in. Look at verse 21. So he said to them again, I'm going away and you will seek me. That puzzled me this week. What do you mean? They didn't like him. But he says, I'm going to leave and you're going to seek me. And you will die in your sin. Because where I'm going, you can't come because you don't believe me. So I thought, what does that mean? Who is Jesus? The Messiah. You are going to continue to seek for the Messiah even when I have gone away. You're going to keep seeking him. Let me ask you, have you ever looked for something and you just couldn't find it? And then somebody comes in and says, it's right in front of your eyes, but you just couldn't see it? Do they normally put something in front of the sentence that's right in front of your eyes? Like, hey, dummy, right? Hey, stupid. Hey, you blind as a bat. It's right in front of your eyes. Here Jesus was, the Messiah, right in front of their eyes. But Jesus says in verse 21, you're going to keep seeking me, the Messiah. John 1:11 says this, he came to his own people did not receive him. John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus says, I'm here right in front of you. I'm the illuminating lights. If somebody else comes in the Father's name, you're going to receive him. I did a little research. In fact, yesterday I was curious. What do Jewish people think today? I was curious, do they still seek a Messiah? Mashiach. Do they still seek Mashiach? You know what the answer is? Yes. And they have a belief that he's just going to pop in and restore the government to Israel and set up as king. They did not want somebody to die. That was not in their thinking. And it was sad to read the Jewish writings about, oh yeah, we're waiting for Mashiach. We're waiting for him. He's going to come and fix everything. Oh, we're excited and we are anticipating the one. And Jesus is here saying, I am he. It is I. I am the light of the world. And look at verse 21, how urgent he is. I'm going away. You're going to keep seeking a Messiah. You are going to keep seeking a substitute Savior. But notice the result for doing that. Verse 21, you will die in your sin. You know, the same thing's true today. People are still seeking deliverance, but they refuse the light that was sent from heaven. And they go to all kinds of things for deliverance. All kinds of things to try to make this life tolerable, joyful. You know what I've discovered? Everybody knows something's missing, don't they? Isn't that how the commercials convince you to buy stuff you don't need? You get the girls. You know, the real ugly girls. Buy this car and you get all the ugly girls. Right? Drink this beer and man, you have the worst friends ever. Oh no, the bar is, I mean, just these well-dressed. They got their act together. This is where joy is. This is where your life is. You know what? I run all over the city. Not running to bars, but I run all over the city. And sometimes I run by bars and their doors are open. You know what's in there? Darkness. It's always dark. It's always dark. It's always dark. And I'm thinking, how gloomy. Is that what they tell you on TV? Oh, no. Oh, no. Everybody's looking for something because they know something's missing. I'm going to find it in alcohol. I'm going to find it in sex. I'm going to find it in drugs. I'm going to find it in sports. I'm going to find it in a hobby. I'm going to find it on my yard. People's yards are their idols many times. I'm going to find it in something. And there's Jesus. I'm the light. I'm the light. You're going to continue seeking a Messiah. And you're going to die in your sin. In fact, if you'll notice, he repeated that three times. Verse 21, if you jump down to verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The worst condition ever is to die in your sins. You see, most of us know we're going to die, right? Is there anybody in here that you're not going to die? God sent you a note this week. You're not going to die until the trumpet sounds. Most of the world knows they're going to die. But do you know what they add to that? But just not today, right? Oh, I know I'm going to die, but it's not going to be today. So Satan doesn't say, you know what? This Jesus is a nothing. Just put it off till what? Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Not Jesus. He just shares urgently. I'm the light of the world. You keep seeking another Messiah. I am He. You're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. You are going to die in your sins. You might remember in the Gospels when they were all concerned about one of the leaders had killed some Galileans. And then there was a tower that fell and people died. And they said, Jesus, who sinned more, the people here or the people there? And Jesus didn't even answer the question why the tower fell, why the leader killed the Galileans. You know what Jesus said? If you don't repent, you're going to die too. When the World Trade Center was knocked down, what do we always worry about? Who did it? And I'm not saying that was wrong, but who did it? How did it fall? Well, see, the steel structure here was this way, and you had this much pressure here, and you had this much pressure here, and the plane hit here, and that's why it fell. Oh, that's cool. You know if they had interviewed Jesus on CNN, Christ News Network? Well, we have Jesus here, and Jesus has a little bit of information about why these buildings fell. You know what Jesus would have said? Unless you repent, you're going to die too. Because Jesus knows that's the most important thing. We all are going to die, but we're just not going to die today, are we? We have tomorrow, don't we? And He's the light of the world. And He, if you follow Him, you will not walk in darkness. He is the deliverer. Listen to Matthew 8, 12. Jesus said, while the sons of the kingdom, that's rejecting Israel, will be thrown into the outer darkness. Isn't it amazing that hell is also called darkness? The opposite of the light of the world. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A horrible place for rejecting deliverance. And these people just aren't getting it. Look at verse 22. The Jews said, is he going to commit suicide? What do you mean he's going and we can't go where he's going? Will he kill himself so we can't do anything? It's crazy. And I love how Jesus just comes back and says in verse 23, you guys are from below. I'm from above. I'm the sent one. You belong down here. I am not of this world. It's an amazing, amazing Savior. Verse 25. So they said to him, who are you? And Jesus just says, I'm exactly what I've been telling you from the beginning. I'm the sent one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the son of David. I'm the son of God. And I love verse 26. I have much to say about you. What if your boss called you in tomorrow and he wasn't happy? And he said, Dennis, I got much to say about you. Come tomorrow at 8. Dennis, what's your day going to be like from that moment till 8? Horrible, right? Wouldn't you be thinking, oh, what if I do? I love this. Jesus said, you know, I got a lot to say about you. And much to judge, but I'm not going to say it now. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I've heard it from him. And verse 27, they're so dense, they didn't understand. He was talking about God the Father. Amazing. But now notice the deliverance, verse 28. Jesus said to them, when you have killed me, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know I am He. That puzzled me. So we're going to talk about it. And that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. Boy, you just get this beautiful relationship between Jesus and the Father. So He says, you are going to kill me. By the way, that's our redemption. That's our deliverance. Jesus dying on the cross and being buried and raising again. You are going to lift me up. Then you will know that I am the Messiah. Oh, my goodness. What does that mean? Here are some possibilities. Possible that after the resurrection, some would believe. When they actually see this same Jesus walking around in Jerusalem, some would believe. Philippians 2 says on the day of judgment, they will bow. Now get this. They are dogging the Savior. They're putting him down. They just don't get it. They're eventually going to beat him and whip him and crown of thorns and kill him and mock him and spit on him. And those same people are going to be kneeling before the same guy they beat and whipped and killed. Do you picture that in your head? Can you imagine some of those Jewish people, those Pharisees, kneeling before the guy they hated and they killed? What do you think they're going to be thinking about then? Whoops. Yeah. He was him. He is him. King of kings and Lord of lords. But then it's too late. Tragedies of tragedies to reject the light. He is the deliverer. He is the substitute. The Bible calls it light for people in darkness. In fact, look at these verses real quick. 1 Timothy 6:16. This is really a terms noted for Jesus, but given to the Father. He alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. God the Father is in unapproachable light. No one just says, I'm going to go walk up to the Father. Hello, Father. How art thou? Oh, okay. It is unapproachable light. The pilgrims could come to the light in the temple and the torches and the candlesticks and see all the temples and the dancing and all that, or the lights of the people dancing with the torches, and they could approach it. But God the Father is an unapproachable light. That's why you have to have verse 28. He was lifted up to die, and the veil was ripped from top to bottom, and now we walk into the Holy of Holies in the presence of Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. He takes away the unapproachable light. And we, little old rotten, sinful you and sinful me, who we never seem to get it right, right? I loved our prayer time this morning to listen to a few people pray and how they said, oh God, there's something wrong with my heart today and I need to be fixed. I love that. Because that's all of us at times. We're broken and we just don't get it. But this Jesus says, come on in. I have made unapproachable light approachable through the blood of my son Jesus, whom they killed. He is the light. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may get forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Colossians 1:13 says, He, Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, the kingdom of light. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6, listen to what Satan does. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing what? Light. Light. What kind of light? Of the gospel, the deliverance, verse 28, the Son of Man is lifted up from seeing the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves. 2:9. He will guard the feet of His faithful ones, because He's the light. But the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. God, the light, guards us and takes care of us. I love Psalm 119:105. Your word is that lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. As God, our deliverer and our director, is the light into our path. Whenever I go running at night, I have a real nice flashlight. And I take that flashlight with me and I light my path when I'm in a dark area. Because I can't see. Now, occasionally I look around for boogie monsters and stuff, but I usually light the path. I don't want to trip or break an ankle when there's not street lights or I'm on a road that is not lit up well. And I love to be able to see in the darkness. That is our light of the world. It's amazing. It's a light to our path. The second thing this Marcus Dodds brought up was this light was to guide not their conduct, but their movements. What? I thought we're supposed to have our conduct guided, yes. But this light guided their movements. Let me ask you this. Are we faced many times in our life with decisions that were not ours? In other words, something happens to us and we have no choice, right? We have no choice. Something's laid down in our lap in our life, we have no choice. We have to deal with it, right? Many times. I wrote down a few. How about a death in our life? Do you have any choice over that? No. Sometimes death enters our life. A job change due to reasons beyond your control. For whatever reason. Downsizing, whatever. How about a health situation? I doubt if any of you get up tomorrow and say, where's that cancer pill? I want to take it so I can get cancer. Sometimes health changes us. A relationship's terminated by another person that you didn't really appreciate that. That wasn't your choice, but they said, I really don't want you anymore. I don't want you in my life anymore. Get out of my life. You're no good for me. You're in my way. You're stopping me from being who I want to be. You just get out of my life. But I don't want that. Right? How about a tragedy enters in outside our control? That's life, isn't it? It's life. You give up or deal with it. But here's the neat thing is God guides our movements. When that light moved, they had no say about it, did they? I don't think any Israelite got up that morning and was just watching vigil if that light was going to move. Uh-oh, I see the light moving. Hold it, God! Hold it right there! I don't feel like moving today. Stay back. Back, 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 back. Right there. Right there. I don't want to pack up my tent. I just made a little garden here. I don't want to get the goats all tied up to carry them along. The kids are in bed. You know the kids. We cannot upset the kids, Lord. Did they ever do that? When that fire moved, they better move. They didn't have any choice. You think they ever got tired of it? Oh, my goodness. How many of you love being in your house and it's just nice going home to the same place every day? It is nice, isn't it? You finally figure out where your socks are and everything. It's awesome. Can you imagine if tomorrow this light was there and then just said, get up and go? Now, I've had a few times in my life where God did say, get up, it's time to go. And you follow. Because, you know, Lord, I just bought this house. I just put in the garden. I just, you know, got my dog situated in the yard finally. I think they got weary of it. You ever think these Israelites wanted to be in control?
Yeah.
You ever think they wanted to change? You ever think they wanted to call the shots? I think so. But the light knows where to take us. The light knows what to bring into our life. The light knows where to put us and how to put us there and to use us when we get there. And it's all for our good and for God's glory. But here's the question. Do we resent it? And we'll talk about that when we conclude. But you know, shouldn't they have been morally moved to knowing of God's faithfulness? Yes, to live a holy life. So before we conclude, what's the difference between the Israelites and us? Their leading was external, right? If you know Jesus, the light of the world, our leading is internal, through God's Word and God's Spirit indwelling in us. Psalm 119:59, I love this. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. Isn't that neat? What do you do when you think on your ways? Do you turn your feet to the Scriptures? Or do you turn your feet to panic? Do you turn your feet to, how am I going to figure out this one? Do you turn your feet to whatever? I love David said, when I think about my ways, I simply point my feet to your testimonies because you have my answers. You're the guide. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Because in the Old Testament, wicked paths and troubled paths were called crooked. And when the Messiah comes, He will make the crooked straight. Awesome. Our leading's internal. I'm going to follow God's Word, a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. I'm going to trust Him with all my heart to put me where He wants me and use me where He's got me and will put me. And the Holy Spirit to direct my path. But to know that He is the light of the world. Let me read this and then conclude. I love this. Quote, we need not be disturbed about the darkness that hangs round the horizon if light falls on our path. We need not be disturbed by our ignorance of many divine and human things, nor by our inability to answer many questions which may be put to us, and which indeed we naturally put to ourselves, so long only as we are sure we are living so as to please and satisfy Christ. If our life runs on the lines His life marked out, we shall certainly arrive where He now is, in the happiest and highest human condition. Why am I smiling? Why is there joy? Why do I love my life? Because I am in the lines where my God, the light of the world, Jesus, is leading my movements, and I'm trusting Him, and I'm joyful. Yeah, but I'm in a hard spot right now. Well, praise God, He's leading you there. Right? No, I'm sorry.
No, I just don't like it at all.
I want Him to come in just like the Jewish people and be the king now and fix everything. I'm like that a lot. When there's darkness around the outside, that's okay. Why? Because the light's on our path. And He's right there. No weather changes Him. No troubles changes Him. Your boss doesn't change Him. Your doctor doesn't change Him. No president, no monarch, no ruler changes Him. No government changes Him. Your neighbor doesn't change Him. Just fill in the blank. His light's constant, guiding and directing. So here's the conclusion. Verse 24, is this you? I told you would die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. Is that you today? Have you rejected the light of the world? Have you refused to repent of your sin and just acknowledge He is He? He's Him. He's Jesus. He's the light of the world. He's the one that will take me out of darkness, the darkness of Satan and evil, and a day that I will end up gnashing and gnawing of teeth in hell darkness. There is no other Savior, and people will seek it. There is no other Savior. All fakes will fail you on the last day. All fakes will fail you on the last day. Your evil friends will not be there with you on the last day, bailing you out. Your alcohol, your drugs, your sin and sex, whatever sins you hang on to, will not be there on the last day. Boy, they promise you so much today, don't they? I'm your companion. I'll give you joy. I'll give you life. I'm what you need. I'm the one that'll make life worth living. But I guarantee you, when you're standing before Jesus on the last day, they won't be there. John 5:24 says this. Again, we've already read it. But truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death or darkness to life. Is that you today, verse 24? Have you ever repented of your sin and realized that Jesus is the light of the world? And the only way to satisfy the wrath of the Father is to place your trust in Jesus? Maybe you're verse 12 today. You've trusted Christ. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. You've trusted that. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. You've trusted that, but will have the light of life. But you know today that you've not been living that. He's not the light of your life. And the danger is to walk back in the darkness, which the next picture will show you. To walk back in that darkness, even though you're saved. Let me ask you a question before we pray. Your life is led and directed as a child of God by the light, just like He did the Israelites. How do you respond to that? Are you truly thankful? Do you wish God gave you somebody else's kids? Why can't I have their kids? They seem to be so perfect. I don't think are there any perfect kids? No. But don't everybody else's kids seem perfect? Kinda, sometimes. Are you thankful for the husband God gave you? The wife God gave you? The church God gave you? The job God gave you? The health God gave you? The face God gave you? He's your director. He's the light of life. Are you trusting that light? You trust in it? Fully trusting in the light. That your trust will be ocean deep. Are you complaining and bitter about where the light's taken you? Do you think there's an area in your life where the light made a mistake? Lord, I think I think you blew this one, Lord. Are you at rest in any trial, in any crisis, in any struggle, in any weather, in any circumstance, just the way that light is? Because the light is never affected by any of those things? Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For at one time you were in darkness." That's scary, isn't it? For one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Then you go walk as children of light. Father God, your Son's amazing. A light in a dark world. And this Christmas, all around Evansville, there'll be lights put up. And we'll walk into stores and malls, and we'll hear Christmas songs about a baby in a manger and all the things your Scripture says. But most people, it'll just be darkness and deaf ears, rejecting the light of the world. Who came to be lifted up, who came to go back to his Father, who came to come again. Father, I pray your Spirit is stirring hearts this morning, that if there is one here that has never repented and they're in darkness now, may you open their heart and enable them to believe you and then respond to call upon you. Lord, if we have some children of the light here today, and as they look at that last verse, they know, you know what? I've been walking in darkness. I've allowed the past. I've been walking back, and I don't have any joy anymore. I've made other things my light. I pray now, God, that we all would say, God, forgive me. And repent of whatever it is that's saying, I'm the light, I'm the light, I'm the light. Father, we thank you for sending the sent one, Jesus, the light of the world. The water of life, the bread of life. The King of kings and Lord of lords, the Redeemer, the Rescuer. Lion of the tribe of Judah. What a privilege it is these next 2 months to talk about the one you sent. But Lord, our hope is I want hurting people to be fixed, to stop hurting, to stop living in darkness. I want people who would die in their sins today to be redeemed and to have a home in heaven worshiping you forever. But I can't do that. So God, I beg you to do it to people's lives today. And we'll rejoice in Christ's name. Amen.